So we're continuing in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. We have talked about the poor in spirit, verse 3, those who mourn, verse 4, the meek, and verse 5, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, verse 6, the merciful, verse 7, the pure in heart, verse 8. And now we come to verse 9, which says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." I was reading this week that over 3,400 years of recorded history, there's only been like 268 where there were not any major wars. Humans like to fight. People have been involved in wars for a very, very long time. And certainly, we have our share. We live in an age of turmoil. And in this age, you know, peace is, you know, people talk about peace a great deal. You know, we have peace talks and so forth, but peace is certainly one of the greatest words in the world. I want us to begin by looking at some of the things that the Bible says about peace, real peace. So let's go back to Isaiah, first of all. And we'll start with a very familiar passage in Isaiah chapter 9. And if someone would read to begin with verses 6 and 7, and then we'll go to the last chapter, 66. So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 to get us started.
"For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no increase of his government or of peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it as the upholder of justice and righteousness from the end of it and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this."
All right. So we see there that Jesus is going to be called. Of course, this is a messianic prophecy about the coming of Jesus and what he would bring into the world. He would be called the Prince of Peace. And he would bring peace into the world. Well, now if we go over to the end, Isaiah 66, if someone now would read verses 12 and 13. Isaiah 66, verses 12 and 13.
"For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye sup, ye shall be bore upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you. He shall be comforted in Jerusalem."
All right. "I will extend peace to her like a river." So, you know, throughout, of course, the book of Isaiah, you know, he's known for being the prophet of the Messiah. He repeatedly talks about how Jesus would bring peace and real lasting peace. All right, now let's go to let's do one more in Isaiah. We'll talk about the wicked. Isaiah 48 and verse 22. Isaiah 48 and verse 22. If someone would get there and read that for us.
"There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked."
All right, see, the wicked, the evil, the sinful, they're not ever going to enjoy peace. Not the kind of peace that Christ brings. All right, now let's go to Romans chapter 14. And we see what Christians are to do. Romans 14, verse 19. All right. Pursue. Go after. All right. Use effort to do what? Things that make for peace. All right. Things that make for peace. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13.
Highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves.
All right. Be at peace among yourselves. And of course, this is not the kind of peace that people talk about today in treaties and so forth. But this is the peace that, as we've talked about with this these Beatitudes, start within. This peace starts within and works its way out. All right? And, you know, they talk about peace in the Middle East or peace in Europe or peace here or peace there. The only kind of peace that will ever last is when people follow Christ. That's it. That's the only kind of peace. That's the kind of peace that the Bible is talking about. And so it's about God's presence that makes for peace. All right. So, if we're in Romans, still in that area, let's see what Romans 10:15 tells us about this. Romans 10 and verse 15. You'll recognize this when you read it.
And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, to bring glad tidings of good things.
See, preaching the gospel of peace is bringing glad tidings of good things. And of course, he is talking about the whole idea of Christ and what he was going to bring, the real kind of peace, peace between people and God. It's that idea of reconciliation that he's talking about. Well, similarly, we turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and we read verse 20. Of that particular chapter. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20.
And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven.
All right. See, there's that connection between being reconciled and having peace. All right. And he says that peace only came through the blood of the cross. See, that's the only way we can be reconciled to God, is because of what Christ did on the cross. Without that, there's no reconciliation, there's no forgiveness, there's no peace, none of that. And of course, that's what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. We go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And if someone would read 14 through 17, we're getting the idea, seeing how much the Bible talks about peace. Ephesians 2, 14 through 17.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make himself the twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were not.
Okay, he starts out in verse 14 by talking about that middle wall of separation, and if you remember, the temple, especially in the first century, had a wall that the Gentiles could not go beyond. Only Jews could. And so here Paul is making that, getting this picture in these people's mind about how Christ did away with that. And that's why he talks about making one new man from the two. You know, there isn't any Jewish Christian or Gentile Christian today. They're just Christians. And they're all, as David read in verse 14, there again we see the idea of being reconciled to God. That's what it's all about. This peace, you know, two people can only really have peace when they both have peace with God. That's the kind of peace that makes the world a better place. And so that's why Jesus came, and that's what he preached, and that's what he lived, that's what he taught to those who were far off, the Gentiles, and to those who were near, the Jews. So he taught that to all people. Now, let's go back this time to Acts chapter 10, and this time let's see what verse 36 adds to this conversation.
The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all.
Okay, now remember, this comes right after he talks about that there is no partiality with God. All right? What God is concerned about, verse 35, are those who fear him and works righteousness. So again, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. If you want peace with God, it's about fearing God and working righteousness. And that's what it's about. So the peacemaker, the one who, you know, brings peace, he's not one who compromises. You know, a lot of today is about compromise. You know, they're trying to compromise. You know, you go to the Middle East, it's about trying to compromise between all the various groups. Well, that is not what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker is not a compromiser. A peacemaker that we're talking about in our Beatitude is someone who reconciles a sinner to God. That's a peacemaker. That's the kind of peace that he is talking about, and the one that makes a difference. So, you know, if we're a disciple of Christ, we're a real Christian, that's what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to see people at peace with God, reconciled to God. And our culture, our society today needs that peace so badly. You know, we have so much strife and dissension and hatred in our country. And when people, you know, come to Christ, submit to Christ, and be reconciled to God, then they realize, you know, all of that strife and dissension is for nothing. And so that's how people can really have peace. You know, people are, there's strife and hatred today about any subject you want to imagine. It doesn't make any difference what it is. There is strife and dissension about it. But the only kind of peace that's important is that peace that we have with God. And it's not like, you know, peace at any price, which is what people sometimes think about today. That's not this peace. That's not the peace we're talking about. Before someone can have peace with God, they have to be confronted with their sin. They have to understand that they're sinners, and that they are lost without Christ. They have to be confronted with that. You know, we can't tell people you can have peace with God and live any way you want. That is not peace. Okay? That doesn't work in any way. And there isn't any other place to find peace. Now, let's go to John 16. John 16. And if someone would read verses 31 through 33.
Jesus answered them, "If you have a need,
behold,
an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered each to his own home
and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone,
because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you,
so that you may have peace.
In the world you have tribulation,
but courage, I have overcome the world."
All right. Of course, Jesus knew what was going to happen to his disciples in the coming days, months, and years. He knew they would have tribulation, that they would have trials, they would have sufferings because they were his disciples. And that hasn't changed a bit. Okay? We're never going to be at peace with the world. Okay? That's never going to happen. And Jesus knew that. He says, you're in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble because you're a follower of me. You know, Jesus, prior to this, had told them, you know, not to be surprised, because if the world hated him, they were going to hate them. But he said, even though there is trials and tribulation in the world, he says, you can still have peace. You can still have this peace with God. Because, he says, I've overcome the world. So the peace we have, of course, comes by faith. And this is, it really kind of goes along with what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Someone would read that for us. Romans 5 and verse 1.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
See, that peace can only come through Christ. Doesn't come through any world religions or any other way. It has to come through Christ. So no one can have that peace except they go through Christ. And of course, that means there has to be first, knowledge about Christ. Before a person can come to Christ and obey Christ, they have to have knowledge about Christ. And notice the progression that Peter mentions here in 2 Peter 1. Because this goes right along with what he's talking about. 2 Peter chapter 1, and would someone read verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the that is in this world.
All right. See, we can escape the depravity. We can escape the corruption by having this peace. But that peace, notice, he uses the word knowledge twice in those verses. May it be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then this divine power has been given to us through the knowledge of him. So again, this peace comes through the knowledge of Christ. That's where it begins. All right. There's a lot of things the Bible says that destroys peace. All kinds of things can destroy peace. So these all come from, well, not all of them. Several come from Proverbs. So, First of all, would someone read Proverbs 26, verse 21? Proverbs 26 and verse 21.
Coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife.
All right. What does a contentious man do? He makes things worse. Increases strife.
Drama.
All right. That's what he does. Okay, staying in Proverbs. Oh, let's go to the verse right above it, verse 20. I forgot about that one.
Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases.
All right. Fire's going to go out if there's no wood to keep it going. So that's what he's doing. It's what he says here. Where there's no talebearer, another someone that keeps it going and keeps things stirred up, strife's going to cease. Well, if we go back to Proverbs 16, just a few pages, in verse 28. All right. Perverse man sows strife. In other words, that's what he's planting. A whisperer, a slanderer can separate even the best of friends. Again, we're talking about disrupting peace. So all of those things can be a problem. Seeking vengeance, you know, the Bible says God's going to be the one that takes vengeance, not us. So I think that's an important point as well. So let's go to Psalms 34. Got a little bit of time left. Good. Psalms 34. And would someone read verses 12 through 16? 12 through 16.
Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
All right. Seek peace and pursue it. Both of those, of course, takes a great deal of effort. And so being a peacemaker, you know, it is going to be about how you try and bring peace between people, but more importantly, between people and God. That's the most important type of peace. And so this whole idea of reconciliation between a person and God is critical. Well, then he says there in Matthew that the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. All right? They'll be called sons of God. And of course, they're called sons of God because they take on the character of God. We already talked about how God wants people to be reconciled to him. And so being called a son of God, a child of God, means that we're going to be like him. And he wants peace. And that's what we should want as well. So we should be promoters of peace. And so being called a son of God, a child of God, that's something that's a real high honor. I mean, that's a very prestigious thing to be called. You're called a son of God. But to be called a son of God, you must be a peacemaker. You must try and reconcile people to God. Because that's what we want. That's what Jesus came to do. He made reconciliation possible, and then he left it with his followers to bring peace to the world. And so that's what we are. You know, we're his helpers because he's not physically on earth anymore. So he's left that job to us. And so any way that we can promote that peace between people and God, that's what we try and do. And so we will be blessed. All right, we've talked about blessed, how it's the idea of the Hebrew word, Old Testament word shalom, you know, the idea of being fortunate and well-being and wholeness. That's our reward in this life. That's our reward. So it is it's something that takes effort on our part, sometimes a lot of effort, but it's something that has a tremendous reward. And we've talked about how these Beatitudes kind of progress. We've kind of talked about that the past several weeks, how everything starts with being poor in spirit. You know, someone that is not poor in spirit, someone that doesn't realize their sinfulness and are not filled with humility, they're not going to do any of the rest of these. So that's why it was the starting point. All right. Anybody have anything to add? Because we've got next week, if things work out, blessed are those who are persecuted. And you will be persecuted. If you live this way that we've talked about, you'll be persecuted in some way or form. So again, that's very, you know, we're seeing this progression, how everything just kind of fits. And persecution for righteousness' sake will be the next one. Well, thank you very much, and if the Lord wills, we will look at verse 10 next week.